Thank you and good evening. Quite a hymn. I think of two lines in the second verse. The last two lines in the second verse see the Savior's grief and passion, truth and mercy's gentle kiss. I'll tell you, sometimes the poet captures it, what we sense in our hearts and even in our minds and even in our emotion at times when we think of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And tonight, that's what we're going to look at. We've been looking together at salvation stories as they are found in the Word of God, real, true life accounts of people who came to know what it means to be justified in the sight of God. Melvin will be on you, I tell you. He'll not spare. He'll show no mercy. It's not his job. It's a lovely tune. Yeah, I'm sure it was Irish. Anyway, we've been thinking about real life salvation stories and looking at those who came to find what it meant to be justified in the sight of God, and others where we find the very word used, saved. We looked last night at that brief but all-important prayer, the cry of Peter as he was sinking, "Lord, save me." And so tonight we're going to continue with that in mind, but we're going to turn to a different passage of Scripture, obviously, for a different account found in Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. Now tomorrow night, in the will of the Lord, I'm going to be sharing the testimony of God's grace in my life and how it is that the Lord saved me, and a little bit about what he saved me from, not only from the spiritual side of things of what he saved me from, but the things in life that he saved me from. And so in the will of the Lord tomorrow night, I'll be sharing the testimony of God's grace. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 23. I'll read just verse 21 and then some verses following. Luke 23, 21, "But they cried, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" Verse 32, "And there were also two other malefactors or criminals that were led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, 'If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself.' And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the king of the Jews.' And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.' And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent, torn in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. At least one of the other gospel accounts where I use the word from the translation of the old King James that I use, malefactors, tells us that there were two thieves that were there crucified with him, identifying at least some of the crime or criminal activity for which they were crucified. We want to look today at this thief on the cross, but we'll look at the scene surrounding him, because it was to him that the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's a true salvation story, isn't it? I mean, we have it from the words of the Lord Jesus himself. You couldn't have more authority than that, could you, than the Lord himself tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, these salvation stories that we've been looking at, they do a number of things as we look at them. They first illustrate to us God's salvation. And so we're seeing illustration of people who truly came to know God's salvation. We've seen some from Old Testament. We've seen some from New Testament. God has been pleased to give us living illustrations of his salvation, what it is like, what it involves, what some of the results are. Not only do they illustrate for us God's salvation, but they illuminate for us God's character. Each of these salvation stories illuminates the character of God. It shines the light on the truth, or gives us the reality of what God is like, of God's heart, of God's wisdom, of the beauty of God's Son, his desire to save, and of his saving power and of his salvation. And they do at least one other thing. As we look at each of these stories, they invite us to partake. They say to us, if we're not saved, and they say to you tonight, if you're not saved, come. Come to the Lord Jesus and experience what these folks did. Experience what it means to know that your sin is forgiven. Experience what it means to know that you're right in the sight of God. Experience what it means to know that no matter what you've done, no matter what you are, no matter what age you are, young, old, in between, come. You're invited to partake of the salvation that God offers through the finished work and in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, tomorrow night, as I said, I'm going to, Lord willing, share the testimony of God's grace in my own life. I mentioned on one evening the story, or a little bit about it, at least. I didn't really mention the story. I mentioned it, but I didn't tell it. I mentioned something about my own mother's salvation. And some of you may remember I mentioned that in passing. And some have asked, would I tell about how my mother got saved? And I'd be happy to do that. Matter of fact, I'll do that tonight, because I think it fits in with the story we have from Luke's gospel in chapter 23. As you'll find out if you come tomorrow night, one of the things that's true of me is that I was not raised in a Christian home. My parents didn't take me to church, take me to meetings. They didn't even send me to meetings. As a young boy, I often went to Sunday school and things like that, vacation Bible schools, as we called them, until I got old enough to do my own thing. My parents weren't really interested in anything like that. And if you come tomorrow night, and some of you will already know that I had quite a background. The Lord saved me out of quite a lifestyle. And one of my great disappointments in life as a new